We don't have medical care. We have basic herbal medicine, Tibetan doctors, and we prayers. But so many of children, and especially elders, die in the winter due from malnutrition, kidney failure, tuberculosis. And here, if somebody, and many of them have, are preventative deaths. And here, we have hospitals and clinics that could cure that. But over there, some of my younger siblings got sick for a couple of days and then they die.
And what was the impact on you as the oldest child in the family of all of those deaths, and on your parents as well?
It was very hard. I mean, because I was the oldest, I took care of a lot of my younger siblings, and I became like a second parent to my younger siblings. And I remember my mother, especially my mother, going through depression for each loss of each child, and that was really intense. But I became almost like my mother when one of my brother, who I took care of him, and I became really attached to him, and he died one day, and he was, I felt like my mother. I just remember feeling completely numb and not knowing what to do, and just not feeling completely lost. And I also had another experience where one of my younger siblings, one of my younger sister died, and I had to help cremate her body. And it was an all-day event, which I talk a great deal about it in my book. And that was really, it was really hard to just having to pick her ashes and then have to spread in the mountains and feeling hopeless. A lot of my deaths are just feeling hopeless. When you're in this isolated place, when I often just wait for a miracle to happen.
You survived despite the fact that you had your own serious health issues, and your parents undertook this month-long trek on foot to get to Kathmandu to have your health issues taken care of. Tell us about what you were dealing with.
Yeah, so that was one of the main reasons that we decided to make this difficult journey, month-long journey, was because at the time we didn't know it was called, you know, we didn't know what scoliosis was, but when my parents find out there was a lump on my back, by then they already lost 5 kids, and they fear for the worst because they have seen other children with a similar condition as me die young. And everybody in my village and villages nearby were praying for me and also reminding me that I was going to die. Like, oh, it's so sad that you're going to die, which is not something a 10-year-old wants to hear reminded. And I remember one day just kind of imagining or accepting my death, knowing that's the direction I was going. So so that was one of the main reasons that my parents, like, we got to do something. There's no way I can lose another child. So we came down to the city hoping we can find a medical, to somebody to help with my back. And that's where I met an organization called Rokpa International, and that's where I met my Boulder family. I found my American parents who later adopted me. But they, what's so special about that is that people, you know, my parents and the Rokpa International, they listened to my story to help. You know, and my mother's, and Jennifer, and she when she came to Boulder, and she just begged the doctors here, people that she knew, please help this child, she's going to die. And that was correct. When I came here, the doctors said, it's, you know, if you lived up there one more year, you would have not survived. Because with scoliosis, they said that I had a year to live because my spine was bent 115 degrees and it was crushing my lung. And I was already having trouble breathing by then.
And of course, at a high altitude, that's exacerbated.
Yeah, it was just, I mean, I kept my pain And but I was struggling. I mean, I was struggling to walk. I was struggling to breathe. So I was on the edge. And but, I'm so grateful, you know.
Well, you got the treatment.
Yeah. So here I had in Denver, I had 4 major surgeries. And I'm so grateful for the doctors that saved my life and gave me a second chance in life.
And ultimately, you went on to the University of Colorado.
Yes.
You got a degree in fine arts. You're an artist. You've been a preschool teacher. You're really living here in the US. But you came here not as a baby. You were 10, 11 years old. I mean, what was that change like for you to come from one of the most remote areas in the world to a US city?
Yeah, so I came here when I was 10. And I think the most sort of a culture shock was that I didn't know English. I mean, I could say, can I use the bathroom? But just to be in, I remember being here and not knowing what people were saying. And I was also living with people who spoke English. But luckily, we couldn't communicate, I just felt with my Boulder family this strong sense of trust and bond, and that's what kept me, like, going. And I also love Boulder. Like, I remember when I first came to Boulder and I saw the mountains, and there was one time when I saw the horse, I almost thought, wait a second, am I here to herd the horses? Am I being tricked? I thought I'm here to get my surgery. But I think I fell in love with Boulder right away, and Boulder has become my second home, and I've been to school here and worked here. And also in 2014, we had doing Boulder International Film Festival. There's a film called The Only Son, which is a documentary about my family. And that was a great thing to share to my Boulder community. And like 700 people showed up. And I just feel it's such a nice, too. Like, Nepal is my first home. And then, too, I feel Boulder is my second home. And just to have this cross-culture sharing.